The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Mike, you need to start hitting the weights more, kid. You're growing well, but you need to bulk up, get some strength in those arms.
Well, may not be the strongest, but I still can't eat the most.
It's not a joke. Kerry is about to become the family's first Olympian. Kevin is the NWA Texas champion. David is about to make his ring debut.
Oh, come on.
It's time for you to start thinking about what you're going to be. Now, we all know Kerry's my favorite, then Kev, then David, then Mike. But the rankings can always change. Everyone can work their way up or down.
Now, that's a fascinating clip from a fascinating film, which was snubbed in this year's Oscar list for Best Movie. And that's what we're talking about on Inside Hollywood this morning. And we're joined by pop culture journalist Jen Gannon. Jen, good morning.
Hello, good morning.
Now, this is one that escaped me. I haven't seen The Iron Claw.
It's still in cinemas now, I think, if people want to check it out.
And but you say it's brilliant.
It is, it is. And I think it's a really strong year this year for Best Picture, I have to say. I think all the nominations, the 10 films that are in the mix are great, but there are some that have been completely looked over, and The Iron Claw is definitely one of them. It's from the director Sean Durkin, and it's a wrestling saga, a true life saga. It's the story of the doomed dynasty of the Von Erich family of wrestlers, and they're beset by unbelievable personal misfortune. Like, so much so, when it finished, I was on the Lewis on the way home Googling the real life story, and jaw-dropping what happened to this family. But it's the kind of thing that you think Hollywood would pay attention to, because it's this aching kind of melodrama. It's a mix of that deep emotion of something like Robert Redford's Ordinary People and the intensity of something like Scorsese's Raging Bull. And it stars Zac Efron in this completely transformative role as the eldest brother, Kevin Von Erich. And he himself went through this extreme body altering process and bulking up. He almost looks like a real life Incredible Hulk in the film. And the Academy usually loves something like that.
Now, you were saying to me that there may be timing issues involved why it didn't get the nod. Explain.
Yes, there's a few reasons. I think the potential culprit of it was too late in the season when The Iron Claw premiered. I mean, Sean Durkin, the director, he's a bit of a perfectionist, and he said to have only finished the film's cut as late as last November, and that was mere days away from its premiere in Dallas, and that meant it wasn't ready for the all-important festivals, so like Venice or Telluride or Toronto, and there where the critics gather and they see these films that may haven't got a lot of money behind them, but they love them and they want to get the word out there, and The Iron Claw missed that. And to just pinpoint how important festivals are. Something like Celine Song's film Past Lives, such a small film, a tiny film. They saw this, the critics saw this at festivals, and they just went crazy for it. So much so, it got this massive push, and now it's there for Best Picture, and The Iron Claw missed out on that completely by being just too late. Yeah.
Lesson learned by Sean Durkin, I suppose.
Yeah.
And next, we're going to talk about that vehicle for Andrew Scott and Paul Mescal, All of Us Strangers. And this is Andrew.
There's no doubt in my mind. When I read the script, I saw an awful lot of myself in the character. There were scenes that I just felt I understood, and I knew that my challenge was to bring as much of my own self and my own, for want of a better word, my own pain and my own history and my own joy to it. And so I didn't really want to move towards anything other than that. And I suppose that was a bit of a scary thing to do.
And that's Andrew Scott talking about the role. Tell me about the movie and why you think it missed the cut.
I mean, I think Andrew Scott gives one of the performances of the year in this film. And he's this lonely screenwriter who seeks out love from his younger neighbour, who's played by Paul Mescal. And he's also trying to wrestle the demons of his tragic past. He's kind of going back to write about his parents who were tragically killed in a car crash when he was 11 years old. So it's all about him kind of wanting to accept love into his life, but his past kind of hindering him and not knowing himself and not feeling secure within himself as a gay man at that time when he was growing up in the 1980s. And that vulnerability that love kind of exposes you to, and love in all different forms, familial love and romantic love. It's a very intense film. It's a very depressing film as well. And I will say, this week, The Hollywood Reporter, they always put out interviews with Academy members, and a lot of them just don't watch some of the films that are nominated, which I think is a scandal. If that's your job, you know, that's what you're supposed to be there to do. And I think with this, when you read a logline like that, they go, oh, too depressing, not for me, I'm going to skip that. And, you know, that's where some things get lost like that. And I think there's also this theory that All of Us Strangers is a gay love story, which has never been a problem with the Academy before when you look at something like Call Me By Your Name or Brokeback Mountain. But the problem seems to be with a lot of Academy members who may be a little bit older or, you know, not in tune with, you know, the way that films are made these days or the way that stories are told, that they believe that if someone is an actor who is out, like Andrew Scott is, that he's just playing himself, and that they would rather reward someone in the acting categories that if they're playing a gay person, that they're a heterosexual actor. And, you know, that has been a long bugbear in Hollywood. And I think it's a real hot topic and a talking point around surrounding All of Us Strangers. But I do think a lot of the problem stems from the fact of actually getting people to see the film. And I think Paul Mescal and Andrew Scott did a great job on the promotional tour. They're very fun and enlightening and trying to sell this film that's quite small. And it's very, very depressing and very sad, I have to say, but completely affecting.
Now, the third one that you think should perhaps have been there is a movie called May December.
Yes, I'm very surprised that this is not there. It has one nomination, so it's not completely snubbed. It has a nomination for Best Original Screenplay, but you have acting heavyweights and previous Oscar winners like Julianne Moore and Natalie Portman, and then you have the director Todd Haynes, who Hollywood absolutely love. But the Academy love when you celebrate Hollywood and those stories centered around the entertainment industry, you know, everything from Birdman to A Star Is Born, but they don't exactly like it when you're poking fun at the industry. It's a very different story.
Okay, so what's the story of May December?
So it's a film that chronicles this actress, Elizabeth, who's played by Natalie Portman, and she visits this small town to spend time with the subject of this biopic that she's going to be starring in. And the woman that she is going to play is Gracie, who's played by Julianne Moore. She's a mother of three, and she groomed a person that she used to work with, Joe, who's played by Riverdale's Charles Melton. She groomed him when he was a teenager, and they ended up in a relationship.
And
she was working in a pet shop, and she ended up spending 8 years in prison because of that. Now, it is based on the true story of Mary Kay Letourneau, who was a teacher who groomed her 12-year-old student back in the 90s. And so it kind of shows, the film actually is more, it kind of goes into Natalie Portman's character in the way of, is she exploiting this woman, Gracie? Are these biopics that Hollywood make where they get involved in real people's lives and then they become celebrities, a certain kind of celebrity out of these stories, these tawdry kind of stories, and then they just leave them behind? Is this something that really affects people and can hurt people? And, you know, I don't think the Academy looked upon that favourably.
You have a clip from this. Can you introduce it for us?
So this is where Natalie Portman's character, Elizabeth, she is trying to get she's quizzing Gracie on how she met Joe, and Joe is there at the dinner table too.
Do you remember when you first met?
I don't really.
I don't know. Let me see. I met Joe. I remember knowing of his family. I mean, they were the only Korean family in the neighborhood at the time. Yes. And my son, Georgie, was in the same year as Joe at school. So technically, I would have met him there, but I don't have any memory of that.
Right.
Everyone's pretty close-knit here on the island, and you kind of recognize everyone. I know there was a point when he was friendlier with Georgie, but I didn't really meet him until he came to the pet store looking for a job.
It was summer after sixth grade?
Seventh. And then he started working there after school and on the weekends.
And what's it like with Georgie, your friendship?
I haven't really talked to Georgie much since then.
George is very sensitive. He always was very, very sensitive.
What's your relationship like with him and your other kids?
How is that relevant? It's my understanding that the movie takes place between 1992 and 1994. Am I wrong? So why would you need to know anything that happened after that?
Well, there are things that exist inside people that don't necessarily come to head until later, and I try and look for the seeds of those things.
Of course I talked to Georgie.
Okay, so effectively we have this woman who grooms the guy and then goes to prison for it because he's a teenager, but then they reestablish a relationship.
They're still married, yeah. So, I mean, I think And Hollywood has this thing for biopics, like, and, you know, stuff like, you know, Charlize Theron and Monster, or you even have this year with, you know, Leonard Bernstein, the film with Bradley Cooper, Maestro. But something like this, which shines a light on the observational way that Hollywood kind of uses real people, I don't think the Academy found that to be something that they wanted to promote or celebrate. And I think that's also what happened with Sofia Coppola's critique of Elvis with her film Priscilla. It was a, you know, very bitter story, a very different side to Elvis that we see, very different to the Baz Luhrmann Elvis that we saw last year being nominated. And I think that's why it failed to gain any Academy support.
So who's your money on then?
Well, it's going to be Oppenheimer. I think Oppenheimer is going to sweep the board. But what I really am hoping for is that the other films, like, you know, Anatomy of a Fall, I think something like that will probably get a screenplay award. I am very much hoping for that. And something like Poor Things, we want that to have a shoe in for us as well. But once Killian takes the gold statue at home, I think we'll all be, it'll be like Italian 90 all over again for film lovers.
All right, Jen Gannon, pop culture journalist, thank you very much for joining us. The Pat Kenny Show with Aviva Insurance. Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.